I'm going to call the remote meet hearing of the Local Government Division to order. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2022. And this meeting is being held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which allows the for the remote hearings, and all remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. The clerk will take the roll, please.
Good morning. Representative Mason?
Mason, present.
Representative Elkins?
Elkins, present.
Representative Quam?
Present.
Representative Byrd?
Present.
Representative Bolden?
Bolden, present.
Representative Hewitt?
Hewitt, present.
Representative Mecklen?
Mecklen, present.
Representative Olson?
Olson, present.
Representative Joachim?
Present.
All members are present.
Thank you. So we have a quorum. Next on the agenda is approving the minutes from February 9th. Representative Elkins, have you read the minutes?
Yeah. Yes, Madam Chair, and I will move their approval.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those against say nay. The minutes stand approved as presented. Thank you so much. First on the agenda today is Representative Freiberg, and this bill will be re-referred to the State Gov Finance and Elections Committee, if approved. And I also know that the representative, well, I'll tell you, Representative Freiberg, do you want to go give a preview of your bill, and then we'll do the amendment?
If it's okay with you, Madam Chair, I think maybe we could just add the amendment first, and then I can describe the bill.
Okay.
It would put it in the shape I'm hoping to have it
in. Okay.
And the amendment, it's the A1 amendment. It just clarifies that one or more national rating organization has to provide the rating, and I'll explain more about what that means as I describe the bill.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please unmute, and all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative.
Sure. So, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the opportunity to discuss House File 3176. So in 2017, we as legislators passed a law giving certain cities the ability to invest 15% of their reserves in the private market. Prior to that, their only option was investing in government securities, which have a lower rate of return. So the law we passed, however, is only available to cities with a AAA bond rating or cities with a population of 100,000 or more, regardless of that city's bond rating. So this bill would lower the rating threshold to AA, which is still very good and suggests that the city is investing prudently. And the bill was requested by the city of Robbinsdale, which is on strong financial footing, but is not able to invest its funds in a way that maximizes the benefit. In drafting the bill, we consulted with the League of Minnesota Cities and some of the bond experts that they work with, and we made changes to address the issues they raised. With me here to testify is Mayor Bill Blonigan of Robbinsdale. That's pretty much all I wanted to say about the bill. I think it's important to hear from the cities that would benefit from this. So I guess with your leave, Madam Chair, I would turn it over to Mayor Blonigan.
Welcome, Mayor. And if you would state your name and proceed, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bill Blonigan, Mayor of Robbinsdale, Minnesota.
Proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thanks for allowing us to testify. You're on a roll. You already passed an amendment. I'll try to be fast also. It's Minnesota Statute 118A.09. And as Representative Freiberg indicated, there are availabilities for cities of $100,000 and AAA bond ratings to invest. We have our reserves and very prudently invested, but we have a 1.1% rate of return because we have to basically use government-backed instruments. The amount we invest is so much that the banks are required to give us security. So if we can invest in what we're thinking of doing is investing with the Minnesota State Board of Investment that has 900,000 members or people investing through them, and that has a stellar record. If we can invest with them, we've determined that somewhere between 310,000 and 330,000 extra dollars of interest to the city of Robbinsdale will come every year. And it's, you know, that's a thing where we get more money for the taxpayers without the legislature providing any money. I think it's a bill that should have strong bipartisan support, because a city, whether it's mostly Democrats, Republicans, Independents, or a mix, they can all use extra investment income, especially if it's limited to some kind of safe method, which the our intention is the Minnesota State Board of Investment. Know that any city can only take 15% of its reserves and invest this way. And it's not 15% of all of our reserves. It's 15% of certain defined types of reserves. So we think it's good for everybody, and we'd like you to move it forward.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Okay. Madam Chair?
Peter.
We just as a matter of process, we have to go back and formally move the bill and then move the amendment. We never formally did that. So we wanted to have the testifier present, and then we can just move it, move the amendment, adopt it again, and then proceed with questions.
Okay, thank you. I apologize. Okay, I will move House File 3176 as amended to be re-referred to State Government Finance and Elections Committee.
And then we would, the bill is before us, then we would have to move the amendment, since the amendment was never moved. We presented it, but we never moved it. If you want to do that real quick.
Okay, so to the amendment. I thought we did, okay. To the amendment, again, if everybody would unmute, all those in favor of adding the amendment to the bill, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Okay, the amendment passes, and we now have the bill before us. And there were no questions of our testifier. Is there any discussion on the bill? I am not seeing any hands. I'll wait a couple of minutes. Okay, Representative Freiberg, any last comments on your bill?
No, I think it's a good bill. It has safeguards in place to ensure taxpayer funds are protected, and I'd encourage members' support. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Again, I'll renew my motion that House File 3176, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the State Government Finance and Elections Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Representative Quam.
Yes.
Representative Berg.
Berg, aye.
Representative Bolden.
Bolden, aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Hewitt, aye.
Representative Mecklen.
Mecklen, aye.
Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Representative Joachim.
Aye.
With 9 ayes.
Okay. Then the measure passes, and you're on your way, Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Next, we have Representative Bolden has a bill on township planning, and it's House File 3175. This bill was re-referred to the division by the chair of the State Government Finance and Elections Committee. Representative Bolden, would you like to move your bill?
I would, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So moved. And to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. House File 3175 is a straightforward cleanup bill. It repeals redundancies in zoning and planning laws for Minnesota townships. Specifically, it repeals Chapter 366, which grants townships the authority to do zoning and township planning. The same authorities that are granted to townships in Chapter 366 are also listed in Chapter 462. In addition to repeal of Chapter 366, this bill includes a redirect to Chapter 462. This was a request from the Minnesota Association of Townships for any township that still may cite Chapter 366 in their township documents. So next, I would like to invite Steve Fenske to testify. Mr. Fenske is the general counsel for the Minnesota Association of Townships. He'll speak to the application of this bill and the confusions created from the current redundancies in state law. So thank you, Madam Chair. I look forward to questions and ask for member support.
Thank you. Mr. Fenske, if you would just state your name for the record and proceed, please.
Thank you. Steve Fenske with the Minnesota Association of Townships. Thank you, Chair Mason, for hearing the bill and Representative Bolden for introducing the bill. Representative Bolden gave a pretty good description here. What we've got is two sets of powers that developed independently over time. And one of them has become the, I think, the exclusive means of townships doing any land use planning. So what you see here in the bill, it repeals the parts of Chapter 366 that were the town's original zoning authority. And some of these go back into the 1930s. And they were used. Certain townships did some of their land use planning under it. And a few townships still have their ordinance based on that chapter. But they're probably not actively using it a whole lot. And so to protect them and to provide some continuity of land use management, the bill provides the language that says, okay, townships, when the powers in 366 go away, you are still provided the same protections, the same powers and new procedures that are in 462. Okay. Now townships have been able to use that other chapter, 462, since about 1982. So they're kind of new to townships, shall we say, but not really new. We've had 40 years of time where towns have clearly demonstrated their preference to use Chapter 462 whenever they do new land use planning. So it is to the point where when a township wants to do any of this kind of activity, they are using 462 anyway. And what you have in the letter that we've sent in support of this, the second page is a chart where I've compared every power that's in 366 and pointed to where that power exists in 462 to show townships are, they're not going to lose anything by this change. Thank you, Chair Mason.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, I am not seeing any questions. Any discussion on the bill?
Madam Chair.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I put my hand up, but I'm not there. It actually came down. So I was going to just confirm with the author that this wasn't a vehicle bill to give equivalent pressure for in access and powers of annexation to townships with cities.
Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Bolden.
Thank you, Representative Quam, for the question. No, this is not a vehicle bill. This is a straightforward cleanup bill. Thank you for the question.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was trying to inject a little bit of humor because we recently had some good discussions on annexation and also bring to light that this is a very milquetoast bill and doesn't have anything in the glove compartment.
Thank you very much, Representative Quam. Okay, I am not seeing any hands. So in that case, Representative Bolden, would you like to renew your motion that House File 3175 be recommended to be re-referred to the State Government Finance and Elections Committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would.
Okay, so moved. Will our clerk please take the roll?
Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Representative Klum.
Yes.
Representative Berg.
Berg, aye.
Representative Bolden.
Bolden, aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Hewitt, aye.
Representative Mecklen.
Mecklen, aye.
Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Representative Joachim.
Aye.
We have 9 ayes.
Okay. The motion prevails, and Representative Bolden, you're on your way. Thank you very much. Next, we have Representative Torkelson regarding a bill on county boards. And this, it's House File 2162, and this too was referred to, well, it was referred to us by the division, by the chair of the State Government Finance and Elections Committee, and we'll be voting on this bill by 9:40. And I'll move House File 2162 to be recommended to be re-referred to the State Government Finance and Elections Committee. Representative Torkelson, again, welcome, and to your bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. It's a pleasure to be before your committee, and I trust my audio is coming through clearly. And I want to thank you for hearing House File 2162. Just a note of process, this actually was passed out of the Environment Committee, Representative Hansen's committee, on a unanimous vote last week, and is now coming to your committee, and as you said, on its way to state government. The legislation addresses expenses associated with the cleanup of tax forfeited properties, which have been a challenge for counties statewide. When taxes go unpaid on a property in Minnesota, the land is turned over to the state. However, counties are responsible for the administration and costs of returning these properties to productive taxable property or public use. The cost to clean up and manage these sites can be significant, and yet there are few resources to fund this work and limited ability to recoup the funds counties invest. This legislation will mitigate the financial burdens and support more active attention to properties in the program. I have some testifiers with us today. Madam Chair, would you want me to call on them, or will you?
If we can welcome Jeffrey Strand from the Minnesota Association of County Offices, if that's your pleasure. Mr. Strand, are you there? Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm here.
Oh, good. If you will state your name for the record and proceed, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jeffrey Strand, Hennepin County Resident Real Estate Services, speaking on behalf of the Maco and McCatville Associations. I am very pleased, Chair Representative Mason, Vice Chair and House Committee members, to be able to speak on behalf of House File 2162 this morning and to assist with any technical questions. As co-lead chair of the McCatville Delinquent and Tax Forfeiture Committee, that is representation from over 20 counties plus Minnesota Department of Revenue, this particular item has been identified as a tier one priority. It advances the committee's platform recommendation by permitting county boards to authorize a set aside from the annual net settlement of tax forfeit proceeds pursuant to Minnesota Statute Section 282.08 to provide for environmental cleanup related to contaminated tax forfeit orphan sites. This platform item has been supported by the committee from 2018 to 2022. My direct professional experience includes service as property tax and tax forfeited land administrator for 37 years including involvement with 8 Minnesota tax forfeit Superfund sites situated in Hennepin County. Along with many sites subject to the release of hazardous substances or petroleum or having underground or above ground petroleum tanks. This type of funding is critical. The Hennepin County Board recognized this issue and created the Contaminated Lands Restoration Program back in 1996. A current example in my department's portfolio is a state Superfund site called the Universal Plating Minnesota Superfund site in Northeast Minneapolis. The site is situated close to a public school across from a residential area. No Minnesota Superfund funding was available at the time the site was tax forfeit. So to reduce hazards and jumpstart the process, Hennepin County has expended over $750,000 to characterize and properly dispose of abandoned wastes and to demolish dilapidated and hazardous structures on the site, which, as one can imagine, were attractive nuisances for children in the community in Northeast Minneapolis. Funding has come from the forfeited tax sale fund, $500,000, and from a county board approved environmental response fund grant, $250,000. I would also like to note that there is perhaps a parallel provision in the statute 282.08, which your prior House committee inquired about the settlement statute, that there is a line item in that section that provides for the county to reimburse the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency or Department of Agriculture related to their post-forfeiture response actions. In this case, my colleagues from the 86 other counties across the state that I work with in the MACO-MCATFO committees have clearly articulated the need for this sort of funding to set aside a portion of their tax forfeit proceeds. And whether it's Hennepin County or Brown County, as you'll hear from, or the Northeast Land Commissioners, or my colleague in Renville County who has an ethanol plant, there is definitely a need. I really thank Representative Torkelson for his bill, and I thank the committee for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very much. There is a photo of tires in the background that it's hard to ignore. Is that from one of the properties?
Madam Chair, that is a former state Superfund site that has now been remediated with help from the federal EPA and MPCA. It was called the former Docks Auto Salvage. And actually, it's in the near north area of north downtown Minneapolis. It's been remediated, and there's a metropolitan transit facility that was constructed on it. So it is a case of that sort of jump-starting the remediation, characterization and remediation of an abandoned, in this case, auto scrapyard that was in the the near north area downtown North Loop that has now become much more redeveloped. And that costs about a $2 million cleanup.
Thank you for the explanation.
Absolutely.
Next, Kelly Hodovic. Hopefully I pronounced that close to right.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Kelly Hodovic, Brown County Auditor Treasurer, and I'm also speaking today on behalf of the Association of Minnesota Counties, a membership organization representing all 87 counties. So thank you for hearing House File 2162 and for the opportunity to testify. Tax forfeited property is held in trust by the state, but statute obligates counties to manage the property with the goal of restoring it to its best use. This includes funding property cleanup and maintenance. These properties rarely qualify for any existing cleanup programs, so counties are left to fund this work on their own. This forces the counties to make difficult decisions about accessing other county funds or leaving the properties unaddressed until resources are available. Every member of this committee represents a county that reported dealing with tax forfeited properties in the last 5 years, and their costs were rarely recovered. Jackson County addressed around 16 sites and failed to recover over $25,000 on one site. Sherburne County completed 8 site remediations, with one costing over $29,000 that was uncovered. Dakota County shared comments that get to the heart of what this bill is addressing. There is not enough clarity in law as to how counties can use funds for remediation of forfeited lands. Inadequate apportioned funding has prevented counties from being able to perform remediation of these hazardous properties. In Brown County, tax forfeited sites are often blighted, some being beyond repair. We have George's Ballroom in New Ulm that is a vacant building, approximately 35,000 square feet, that occupies six city lots with a demolition and remediation costs estimated to cost $1.2 to $1.4 million back in 2022. The high cost of remediation and demolition restricts how quickly these properties are cleaned up, auctioned off, and returned to tax rolls. When properties can be sold back into private ownership, the revenue is distributed according to statute, which requires payment for certain public investments and special assessments, as well as several permissive allowances before the remaining funds get distributed to local taxing districts, the counties, cities, towns, and school districts. Well, all the local jurisdictions will benefit from the sale proceeds and reestablishing the property as taxable assets. Not everyone contributes to the costs associated with addressing these properties. This proposal would permit a county by resolution to create an account to use these revenues for cleanup and maintenance efforts on tax forfeited properties. These revenues do not amount to a great deal of money, and many cases will still fall short of covering the cost, but it will help. So while this may not be a solution to the financial obstacles of addressing large sites, such as George's Ballroom or those requiring extensive remediation or demolition, it will move us forward and will help counties address the cost of cleanup activities, ensuring that these lands will be safe and productive for the future. We would appreciate your support, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. I see that there are two hands up. I'd like to take the last testifier first. Greg Bernou, if you will identify yourself and proceed, please.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Greg Bernou. I'm the Land Commissioner for Carleton County up here in northeastern Minnesota. I'm speaking on behalf of the Minnesota Association of County Land Commissioners. The County Land Commissioners Association is made up of the 15 counties that stretch from Pine County on the south end, west to Becker County, north up to Lake of the Woods, and then straight across to Cook County and back down the shore. We represent 15 counties and manage some tax forfeited lands up here in Minnesota. The County Land Commissioners support this bill, House File 2162. It was incumbent to have this funding source available to us to clean up these blighted properties. It's not uncommon for us to have properties forfeit after 3 years of unoccupied occupancy. And by that time, the buildings are very dilapidated and are usually not fit for rebuilding to Habitat for Humanity under one roof programs. They are so far gone at that point that the only possible method we could do is to take them down. More often than not, these buildings were built back in the 30s and 40s and have high amounts of lead, asbestos, and other contaminants in them, including the one building I had on my personal time here was a white dry clean store in White Goods, which was around $150,000 to clean up. We ended up selling the cleaned up lot for $1,000. That's very common for us up here as we see the migration of populations out of our small cities back down towards the metro areas. We just have a lot of buildings that are falling apart, schools, railroad depots, take your pick. So having the ability to set aside tax forfeited funds into a set aside account to clean up these properties would be of immense value to us. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Are there anybody else that wants to testify on this bill? I am not seeing anything. Okay, so we will go to our committee. Let's see, Representative Hewitt, I see your hand.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Elkins must have put down his hand. But Question for the testifiers or the author. Just a concern I have. When these lands go into tax forfeit, are they usually in foreclosure or coming out of foreclosure and the county is taking them back? And I guess that's the first part of my question, then I have a follow-up.
I'm still waiting on...
Can anybody answer that?
Representative Torkelson, Mr. Strand, if you would proceed, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Torkelson and Representative Huat. My experience in Hennepin County is that if you're referring to mortgage foreclosure, sheriff sale, there is a low correlation because typically a responsible bank or lending institution will have proceeded to foreclose on a property when the property taxes first become delinquent because they do not want to have a risk of losing their priority position, which the state tax forfeiture would, with due notice, would wipe out the mortgage, as I understand it. So typically a bank will have addressed the tax delinquency with the borrower well ahead of the tax forfeiture.
Representative Hewitt.
So that's good to hear that the banks are stepping up on these, if that's the question, but I'm concerned that there are bad players out there using this for a way to walk away from land that's bad and just leaving it for the county to deal with. And so I suppose if they're not doing this, if they have means, is there a clawback method that you can go after them for? Or, you know, if they purposely walk away from something and you know they have means, I'm new at this, so I just kind of want to understand if there's a way that some of these companies maybe use this as a strategic way to walk away from a big investment.
Mr. Strand, do you want to take this too?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, in my experience of approximately 37 years in tax enforcement and tax forfeiture in Hennepin County, I know of one Superfund site in North Minneapolis called the Warden Oil site. It was a waste oil refinery from 1927 to 1991. Cost about $2 million, including federal EPA involvement under the Oil Pollution Act. In that case, Hennepin County Attorney's Office recovered about $50,000 from the estate of the former owner. So my personal experience, professional experience in this area is that very seldom are there entities with financial resources, but my department has engaged in what's called insurance archaeology, looking at historic commercial general insurance policies pre-pollution exclusion period. That has not yielded significant proceeds. In the case of the Warden Oil, there was actually a responsible party or potential responsible party group that did contribute, as I recall, I think it was at least a couple $100,000 of surplus funds. But typically, as the title implies, orphan tax forfeit sites, there is no responsible party still around that steps forward to help with the cleanup costs, even though we do have the polluter pay, as the Superfund is said to be polluter pays. I hope that is helpful.
Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the testifier. That was helpful.
Thank you. Representative Elkins.
Yeah, I just kind of the same vein as Representative Hewitt's questions, but the picture I'm getting here is that the typical scenario is that it's some kind of legacy business that has been highly polluting. The ownership declares bankruptcy and walks away from the property in order to evade, responsibility for the pollution. But there are no assets to recover. And so this is really the main way that a county would have to at least recover some of the cleanup costs once they've been left holding the bag. Am I understanding this basically correctly?
Mr. Strand, do you want to take this too?
Thanks, Madam Chair, and I'm sure that my other county colleagues can speak equally well. Let me say that, just to be fair, that yes, on these large-scale Superfund sites, I think the characterization of a longstanding, environmental polluting entity, it may be a plating facility, waste oil refinery, petroleum, But in, so those are my experience professionally with the larger scale problem sites. But I'm aware both in Hennepin County and other counties, because I speak with auditor treasurers every week, that, you know, it's also just economic obsolescence, or as Commissioner Bernou spoke to, the kind of macroeconomic forces of having facilities that are no longer viable. And people, these may have been, I grew up in Big Stone County. And so I know even when I was growing up in the late 70s, there were commercial buildings that were vacant that I know that have subsequently been demolished. So it's not always a, like a bad player characterization. Sometimes it's simply macroeconomic forces at work, in my view.
Is there anybody else that wants to respond to the questions?
Madam Chair, Representative Torkelson here.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The scope of this bill is really quite narrow. It has really no impact on the process of recovery of a polluter that has inappropriately behaved or is responsible. This is really at the last step of these processes, where the land is already, or the property has already gone back to the state under tax forfeiture. But because of the way our laws are constructed, the responsibility for reappropriating that property and getting it back on the tax rolls falls in the county, but the proceeds from the sale are required to be divided. And so the county doesn't even get all the money from the sale. And this just allows the county to have the option of utilizing sale proceeds to recover some, if not all, of their costs of rehabilitating the property. The other steps that we've been talking about as far as mitigation and all that is really, you know, other parts of law, and this legislation would not affect that process in any way.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? I am not seeing any hands raised. So I think your point has been made, Representative. Do you want to do any closing comments, Representative Torkelson?
Well, very briefly, thank you. Thanks again for hearing this bill. Another reminder that it has cleared the Environment Committee on a unanimous vote. We're headed for state government, and believe I ask for the support of the members of the committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I will renew my motion that House File 2162 be recommended to be re-referred to the State Government Finance and Elections Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Representative Kwan.
Yes.
Representative Berg.
Berg, aye.
Representative Bolden.
Bolden, aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Hewitt, aye.
Representative Mecklen.
Mecklen, aye.
Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Representative Joachim.
Joachim, aye.
We have 9 ayes.
Thank you. The motion prevails, and Representative Torkelson, you're on your way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Next, we have Representative Dittmer with House File 3001, and it's regarding military discharge certificates. And welcome to the committee, Representative Dittmer. Would you like to explain your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and also members of the committee. House File 3001 was brought to my attention by the Minnesota County Veterans Service Officers Association. And something I didn't know, you know, I've been following veterans issues for many years here at the legislature, being a veteran myself. Under the current law, county recorders are required to record certificates of military discharge from the United States Army, Navy, and Marine Corps without charge. This bill expands the requirement that county recorders record certificates of military discharge from any branch of the United States Air Armed Forces without a fee. The effect of the bill is to expand the current requirement to now include the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and the Space Guard. I brought a, from the County Veteran Service Officer up in Stearns County, Corey Vasky. He would like to maybe add a little bit more to this and why this needs to be brought before the legislature. And but I think many times as representatives, we find out there's things in statute that we need to really take a look at and find out why it was, why it is now and why we need to change it. So thank you.
Okay. Mr. Vasky, would you like to state your name for the record and then proceed?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Corey Vasky, Stearns County Veteran Service Officer. I am here on behalf of our Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers in joint support with the Commander's Task Force. As Representative Detmer said, the general intent of this statute was to allow county recorders to record military discharges for service members. Initially, that only included the Army, the Navy, and the Marine Corps, and did not include the Coast Guard. And now, since that time, the Air Force and the Space Force have been added as Air Armed Forces branches. So really, this is just seeking to expand, to make clear it up, and make sure that any additional changes in the future would be included in this. This benefit is still used by veterans. By recording their discharge, they don't need to go back to the National Archives, so that discharge becomes available to them. For example, the state of Minnesota allows a veteran to get a veteran identification on their license. But in order to do that, they have to have a certified copy of that. And so by having that available through the recorder's office, if they don't have a copy at home that's a certified copy, they're able to access that right away in order to pursue some of those benefits. It's my understanding that the language that we're talking about changing has been the same since it was initially enacted in 1919. So I think this is just a pretty straightforward cleaning up the language to make sure that we're including all current branches.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on this? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. Are there any questions from members? Okay, any discussion on the bill? Okay. Well, it looks like Representative Denver, you can go ahead and give your closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, it's important that the committee understands that recorders already are filing military discharges certificates without charging a fee to the veteran. But what this bill will do with codifying current practice, and it won't cost the counties anything to make this change. So thank you for hearing this bill. And I think we'll zoom forward with this as we go through the next committee. And thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
Okay, I will renew my motion that House File 3001 be recommended to be re-referred to the State Government Finance and Elections Committee. The clerk will take the roll, please.
Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Representative Elkins.
Elkins, aye.
Representative Quam.
C.
Representative Burt.
Aye.
Representative Bolden.
Bolden, aye.
Representative Hewitt.
Hewitt, aye.
Representative Mecklen.
Mecklen, aye.
Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Representative Joachim.
Joachim, aye.
We have 9 ayes.
Okay. Then the motion prevails. Thank you very much, Representative Detmer. Are there any comments before we adjourn? We were very efficient today.
Madam Chair.
Okay, I see one hand, Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess most people that tune in would notice this is a very cordial, easygoing and non-controversial committee meeting. This does count as the one we're going to have this year. it's just nice to show that what you see on the news isn't totally what happens in the legislature, that we can do the people's business in an efficient way, get along, and not argue on every single bill. So with that, I will stop taking up extra time and we can get out early. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Quam. The committee stands adjourned. Thank you so much.